This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
It's Tuesday, April 12, 2022. Good morning and welcome to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us this morning on this Holy Tuesday of Holy Week. As we continue with this Holy Week, you can prepare your heart and mind with our special presentation, Close to Jesus to the Last, at 11 a.m. this morning and 6 p.m. Central today. Father Rocky will take you into the events of Jesus' last days before His passion that led to His resurrection on Easter Sunday. You also have two opportunities to pray the Stations of the Cross on Good Friday at noon Central with Bishop Robert McClory, live from the Shrine of Christ's Passion in St. John, Indiana, and then at 3 p.m. Central with Father Rocky from the Chapel of the Nativity in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And we'll also broadcast the Easter Vigil Mass on Saturday from the Vatican with Pope Francis. That'll be live at 12:30 p.m. Central right here on Relevant Radio. For a complete guide of all of our special Holy Week programming, just look for the banner at relevantradio.com or on the Relevant Radio app. And remember, it's not where you start, but where you finish. There's still a little bit of time left this Holy Week to make it a good Lent. If you do nothing else, try to get to confession before Good Friday. Now, the eyes of the world continue to be on Ukraine. I want to bring in our very own Glenn Leverance. Glenn, the invasion of Ukraine by Russia is now in day 48. What's the latest this hour?
Latest, John, is there are concerns about possible chemical weapons attacks on Mariupol by the Russians. This is being investigated, not yet confirmed. Russian troops are pouring into the Donbas region now with a large column in the Rostov region of Russia moving to the northwest into that southeast portion of Ukraine. And nearly two-thirds of Ukrainian children, according to UNICEF, have been displaced. Can you imagine that? Two-thirds of the country's children moved from their homes. Elsewhere, staying in their homes, the problem in Shanghai in China, a city of 25 million people on complete lockdown, people not allowed to leave their homes the past week. You may have heard or seen some really troubling-sounding videos coming out of there yesterday, John. Just amazing.
I did catch some of those videos. They're absolutely unbelievable. I've heard reports people are being literally locked into their homes from the outside. They can't leave. They can't go to the pharmacy. They can't go to the grocery store. It's just an incredible situation. And, you know, scientifically, you wonder, you know, how much sense does this make to lock down the entire city?
Yeah, it's causing tremendous hardship, and you know, we know it's kind of scattered proof as to how well lockdowns work to stop anything like that. And word is, it's the something very similar to the Omicron variant there, and they're not talking about the seriousness there in terms of there was one report of a large city in southern China with a complete lockdown where only two cases of coronavirus had been reported, but they're testing in Shanghai just about everyone very, very frequently, and families being torn apart, kids taken away from their folks, pets taken. It's and complete lockdown. Not like okay, you can get out for basic things, but pets.
Yeah,
taken
pets. I saw literally scenes of cats meowing inside of bags on the side of the streets, along with dogs that are being confiscated from families there in Shanghai. It's absolutely an incredible situation, you know. And all the science says that these lockdowns have never really worked. All the studies that have been done recently have proven that those lockdowns never really did work.
And as far as, you know, how scary and troubling that is as well, the U.S. Government has ordered employees based in Shanghai to leave. They've been ordered to leave. Not a good place to be.
On another front, we're expecting the inflation numbers this morning. What can we expect?
Very high numbers, very, very, very high numbers, even higher than the 7.9% last year, which was a 40-year high. White House kind of cautioning against that, led by increases in gas prices. And they say we're just barely starting to see the full impact of the war in Ukraine and the adjustments the world economy has made versus Russia, as those will start to really hit with the numbers now that come out today.
We'll have to keep an eye on that. Please let us know if anything else breaks with Ukraine. As always, thanks so much, Glenn.
Hey, sure thing, John.
First things first, we start every hour in prayer, and we especially continue to pray for peace in Ukraine, asking our Lord through the intercession of the Mother of God, uniting ourselves to the Holy Father's consecration of Ukraine and Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit here on Morning Air when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we do every morning, our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from Romans 8:18. The Apostle St. Paul says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. During this Holy Week, we can unite our suffering and our crosses with the big cross of our Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary. St. Paul reminds us that even our greatest sufferings are far outweighed by the glory that awaits us in heaven. Though the afflictions of our time in this world are inescapable, the Holy Spirit helps us to make them bearable. All we have to do is ask. Suffering is part of God's plans to mold us into the image of His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we always pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. Now I want to talk about the much-anticipated movie Father Stu, based on a true story starring Mark Wahlberg, who starred in over 50 movies during his illustrious career, but he says that this is the most important film he's ever done. Father Stu tells the story of a former Golden Gloves boxer who becomes an unlikely Catholic priest, a role which allowed Wahlberg to embrace his deep Catholic faith. Listen to part of the trailer.
Let's not waste either of our time. I'm a Catholic.
Well, ain't that what confession's for?
You can't date someone who isn't baptized.
I thought you was gonna say Hispanic. Where's the water? I'll do it now.
I know I'm not what you used to. And not what you deserve either.
Life's gonna give you a gut full of reasons to be angry. You only need one to be grateful.
Oh, shit!
I think God saw something in you worth saving, but it's up to you to decide what you've got to offer.
It's the place you told me you believed in me. I thought it makes sense being back here to do this.
Your son is about to make a huge mistake.
Well, I'm going to be a priest.
For Halloween.
Father Stu comes out on April 13th, and now joining us on Morning Air is veteran actor and producer Mark Wahlberg, one of the most respected actors in Hollywood. He's earned both Academy Award and Golden Globe nominations for his outstanding work over the years. Good morning, Mark. Welcome to Morning Air. Thanks so much for joining us. It's great to be with you this morning.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Mark, first of all, what inspired you and why were you so passionate about telling this real-life story of Father Stu?
It's just such an inspiring story. I think it's certainly something that everybody needs in this really difficult time that we're living in. Everybody's been through some difficulties, and so this movie is going to really inspire a lot of people and touch a lot of people.
You have said to other media outlets that the Father Stu is the most important film you've ever done as an actor. Can you fill us in?
Yeah, I mean, this is a love letter for me to the Lord, to Father Stu. He inspired and touched so many people. We're now, you know, getting his message out there to the world. You know, this is an opportunity for me to utilize all those talents and gifts that have been given to serve God's greater good and you know, do my part.
Mark, for the folks who have not seen the trailer or don't know too much about your film, can you give us just a short synopsis of the storyline of Father Stu?
Yeah, Stu is the least likely guy to become a priest. He was a boxer, troublemaker, went to Los Angeles to try to become an actor, fell in love with a girl who happened to be very involved in the church. So that's kind of how he got led to the church. But through these different events, not only he had a horrific accident, and then he decided not only was he going to become baptized, but he was going to become a priest, which everybody thought he was absolutely crazy. And then he went on to touch a lot of people in a very short amount of time in the priesthood.
And we're talking about someone in Father Stu who really had some real life struggles. He was authentic, a real guy. Is that what made him so special?
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, with all that real life experience that he had when he was then ministering to people and counseling them, you know, they knew he had credibility because he had been through so much himself. And he could really, really articulate that to people.
What about this role of Father Stu? Has this role allowed you to really embrace passionately your deep Catholic faith?
Absolutely. 110%. And I'm looking forward to making more faith-based content in the future.
What does your faith mean for you as a Catholic?
I mean, it's everything. I credit everything good in my life, both personally and professionally, to my faith. You know, it's allowed me to, it just gives me such comfort. You know, I get a lot of joy and a lot of comfort.
And obviously you believe so much in this project that you actually went out and financed the movie by yourself. How difficult of a decision was that for you?
It's tough. They say the golden rule is you never finance a film, but you know, I knew I wanted to make the film, and I wanted to have complete creative control. So, you know, what are you going to do? Take a swing, right? And the movie was touching so many people, so I think you know, it was a wise choice.
And you took a page right out of Mel Gibson's playbook, who also put up a lot of his own money in making The Passion of the Christ. In fact, you actually got to work with Mel and Jackie Weaver, who played the parents.
Yeah. Yeah, I picked Mel's brain about it pretty early on, about financing the film himself, and you know, I definitely was inspired by that.
How special was it to work with a fellow Hollywood legend in Mel Gibson?
He and I had worked together already. He played my dad now twice. He played my dad in Daddy's Home 2. And then he played my dad here in Father Stu. And Mel was Bill Long's first choice to play himself.
Now, Mark, you've also experienced your own fair share of trials, personal turmoil and loss. Can you see the parallels between that in your life and that of Father Stu?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there are many, many, many similarities. I really felt like I spent a lifetime preparing to play this role. And I'd be hard-pressed to find somebody of my generation who would be more suited to play this part than me.
I understand that, unfortunately, you lost your mom during the filming of this movie. That had to be so heart-wrenching. What a difficult time to be making a movie and losing your mom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was as difficult a time as I've ever had. Thankfully, I had lots of support with my family and friends and to really kind of rally around me.
How about your family? How has the family received this movie?
Oh, it's been fantastic. I just did a screening. We had a premiere in Helena, Montana for Stu's family, which was amazing. And then we had another premiere in Boston, and my entire family came, which was really nice. No dry eyes in the theater.
Absolutely. Well, I am so much looking forward to seeing the movie for sure. So make sure to bring some Kleenex to see it. What have you heard from the folks who have had a chance to see the pre-screening of it?
I've never had a reaction to a film like this. I mean, I've been in some good ones. To see people laughing and crying, and then most importantly, being so inspired. And also, they're all challenging themselves now to do a little bit more and to be a little bit better, you know, and find out whatever their role is in God's big picture, to identify what that is and to go out and seek it out and just to be better. So it's really inspiring. I couldn't ask for a better reaction to the film.
When you look at this real life of fathers, too, there's got to be a lot of life lessons for everyday Catholics and other Christians to learn from this movie. Can you talk about a few of the life lessons we can learn from Father Stu?
Yes. I mean, my gosh, you know, just challenging people to see the good in people, you know, to see the good in people and know that nobody's beyond redemption. And we want to root for people to be their best self. So, again, I people are going to be very, very inspired by this.
Now, I understand that to make this film, you had to actually gain a few pounds to play Father Stu.
Yeah, that was the least bit of fun, putting on all that weight. We were eating up to 11,000 calories a day.
Wow.
So, terrible. But it was really important to show Stu, who, you know, most of his life, everything was predicated on his physical abilities. And then for him to lose that, but gain so much power and strength spiritually, that was the big transformation. So we wanted audiences to actually see that happening.
Mark, can you talk about what your hopes are for this film? What do you hope that this film will do for the people who get to go see it?
Well, I promise it's going to inspire everybody who sees it, and again, it will challenge them to do a little bit more, or just to be a little bit better. Kind of, you know, whatever that is, whatever they're called to do, that they go and embrace that. And I think it's going to be a movie that's going to bring people together, which is really nice.
Mark, we're here in Holy Week, obviously the holiest of weeks for Catholics and other Christians. How special is it for you to have Father Stu coming out right here during Holy Week?
It's such a blessing. It's such a blessing. I can't wait to go to a theater and experience it with an audience. And having here, and it's been heard, you know, hearing it talked about in church and all that stuff, it's been really nice. You know, because the movie has language and it is rated R, you know, there were some concerns early on with the church and the archdiocese. And then for them to have seen the film and given me the most glowing reviews and really understand the importance of the language and the violence to get to where Stu was, I mean, it's given me the most glowing reviews and support that I could have ever imagined.
Well, Mark, I want to give you the microphone and the platform here in the closing moments to speak directly to our Catholic audience coast to coast from Maui to Maine, nearly 200 stations. They want to hear it right from you, an invitation to go see the movie.
Yes, I'm really excited that everybody go out this Holy Week and see Father Stu in a theater, laughing and crying with your fellow moviegoers. I promise you this movie will inspire you and reignite hope and faith and also challenge people to do more.
Mark, I so much appreciate you taking the time to be with us. Many, many blessings with Father Stu and all the best. Happy Easter and a blessed Holy Week.
Thank you, sir. God bless you.
God bless you, too. And of course, be sure to catch the movie Father Stu, starring Mark Wahlberg, which opens on March 13th in a theater near you. We need to take a short break. When Morning Air continues, you'll hear from Sean Carney, the present co-founder of 40 Days for Life, with an update on the Lenten Spring 40 Days for Life campaign. Stay with us. There's much more to come as Morning Air continues after this.
Celebrate joy, all of the gifts we bring.
Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us on this Holy Tuesday morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. The largest Lenten 40 Days for Life campaign ever began back on Ash Wednesday in 588 cities worldwide and ended over the weekend on Palm Sunday. In fact, since March 2nd, at least 455 babies have been saved from abortion that we know of. That means 455 babies are going to be born. It will change the world of their loved ones, the people that said yes to life. In Chicago, longtime sidewalk counselor Anne Marie Cinto Mesilla saved two of those babies in one day during the 40 Days for Life campaign. Anne Marie recently joined us on Morning Air.
I'd rather say that this couple knew what they wanted, but they couldn't come to the point of making the decision without maybe that a little encouragement. And the young woman who I spoke to did not want to go in, and her boyfriend came up to her and asked, is everything all right? And then our conversation focused on him and her together, and they made the proper decision. They made the choice that they knew in their heart they wanted to. They did not want to start out a married life knowing they had committed abortion.
You also, through the help of the Holy Spirit, was able to save yet another baby that day. Again, just a reminder that it is really the Lord's work.
We want to just be thankful for when a woman says, I decided not to do it. That's the greatest moment, when somebody comes up to you and say they didn't do it. They decided not to do it.
And now joining us for much more from Houston, Texas, is Sean Carney, the president, CEO, and co-founder of 40 Days for Life, 40daysforlife.com, the world's largest grassroots movement to end abortion. Sean has also been the executive producer of several award-winning pro-life documentaries, and he's co-authored the number one top-rated Christian book, 40 Days for Life, Discover What God Has Done, Imagine What He Can Do, and of course his recent book, What to Say When, the complete new guide to discussing abortion. Sean lives in Texas with his wife and eight children. Good morning, Sean. Thanks for joining us once again. It's always great to be with you.
Good to be back, John. Good morning.
I hope you enjoyed that little testimony of Anna Marie saving those two babies during the 40 Days for Life campaign here in the Windy City.
Oh, that was awesome. That was absolutely awesome. And we've seen that. You know, we typically have less cities during Lent than we do in the fall. This is the largest Lent campaign we've ever had, but it's always a little bit smaller as far as locations than the fall, mainly because of weather. But ironically, or perhaps, you know, from the Holy Spirit, we actually save more babies per campaign during Lent. And a lot of that is due to weather, because people see in places like Chicago, where you just heard, it's cold. And people realize, you know, maybe you're not out here to just judge me. Maybe you actually care about me, because it's freezing. And so it's awesome to see. And we just passed a couple of days ago the 21,000 babies saved.
Wow.
That we know of.
Congratulations, Sean. That's awesome. I know, you know, every mark is big. You just keep growing and growing. It's amazing how far you've come since the early days.
It is, and if we'd have planned it, it would have been a disaster. It truly has been the work of the Holy Spirit, and because 40 Days for Life is local, it's effective. That's one of the things the ACLU said, is that 40 Days for Life is the greatest threat to choice, because it's local and it's highly organized. And you know, that the local leaders make 40 Days for Life work. They're the ones that have gone out and recruited, you know, 1 million volunteers around the world to physically go out and peacefully pray at our locations, at these abortion facilities where the abortions take place. And just as you heard in that testimony, you know, no woman grows up wanting an abortion. And so the slightest effort, the smallest prayer on our, you know, behalf goes a very, very long way in that context when she's going in for an abortion.
Well, Sean, you guys have had so many successes during this campaign. We could spend hours just talking about all the good things that have been happening. Can you give us a little thumbnail sketch, sort of a recap of what's been going on here during this Lenten 40 Days for Life campaign?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, people should be encouraged, number one. There's a lot of frustrating things going on in our culture. And in our government, and it's easy to kind of go on a rant, and those rants are pretty justified. But all of this insanity, where you see the, whether it's the transgender movement or the attacks on marriage or all these cultural fronts where it seems that we've lost, we're winning in the pro-life movement. And when you see within our movement the craziness that now half of our politicians accept infanticide and not resuscitating a baby girl who survives an abortion, that has had a tremendous backlash on them. And we have seen, just through 40 Days for Life, tons of new people coming out to the vigils, getting involved, doing something for the very first time because of how radical the abortion industry is. And so, you know, it's a great time to be part of history. The great work of all the pregnancy resource centers and the grassroots movement, things like 40 Days for Life, has trickled up to the Supreme Court. I think that they will announce that they are going to overturn Roe v. Wade this summer. 40 Days for Life is in great position as that battle becomes very geographical. It won't end abortion in America, but it will change the dynamic of it geographically, and it will certainly send shockwaves throughout the world that you don't have to accept abortion from your government or as a nation. You can make it illegal. And so there's a lot of good going on. And you know, one of the highlights of this campaign has been we've had four abortion workers leave. And the reason that that's significant is this is very early. Typically, the abortion workers have a conversion and leave the last week or the weeks following a campaign. They build a relationship with our local volunteers. But we've had four leave so far. And one of them, after she just came around, she came back to her faith, and she's like, I just can't work here. I see y'all out here praying. And when she quit, she came out and met our local leader and said, you know, I realize now that I don't work there anymore, I can actually talk to y'all and not get in trouble. You're very nice people. Do you mind if I join you in prayer? You know, and she actually joined the vigil just a few days after she quit her job. And so
unbelievable. Isn't that incredible? The grace of God.
Yeah. And you know, we're very cynical these days, and people think, oh, you know, you have your mind made up and I have mine made up. And, but this is what's so beautiful about the church. I mean, we're not robots. We have hearts and minds and souls, and we're all are in need of conversion every day interiorly. And you know, these people that look up and see that they're working at an abortion facility, and it's like, how did I get here? And just a peaceful presence can help nudge that.
Sean, those four abortion workers that have left, did they give you any idea as to why they left, what inspired or motivated them to go to the other side?
It was very basic, John, and this should encourage the listeners too, that what they were doing was wrong, and they just thought about it in depth for the very first time. And they all had either left their faith or were sort of struggling to sort of live out some form of Christianity and still work in an abortion facility, which of course is not easy to do. And you know, the one that joined the vigil really shared with us that this is detrimental to their business, the 40 Days for Life campaign. And we've heard that from a lot of workers. The Planned Parenthood directors have said that the no-show rate for an abortion appointment goes as high as 75% when there's a 40 Days for Life out front. So we know it's effective, but when the workers come out and say, you know, this is killing their business, and I want to join you, that it's such a beautiful sign. It also reflects why we're winning in the pro-life movement. There's just no morale right now inside of an abortion facility. I mean, nothing's going well right now for that industry. And that is a very, very good sign. And Planned Parenthood, for the first time in a very long time, is extremely weak in their leadership. You don't hear a lot from them from the top. And they're in big trouble. They're in big trouble in the grassroots. They're certainly in big trouble with the Supreme Court decision coming out. So this is a very good time, you know. That's why I said, if you're complaining about other things in the culture, that's fine and valid. But we're winning in the pro-life movement, and we're the only Western country doing that.
We're joined this morning by Sean Carney, our good friend, the president and co-founder of 40 Days for Life, talking about the current 40 Days for Life campaign here in the spring during Lent. Sean, I know that your movement is not just in this country. It's worldwide. In fact, 588 cities here at the beginning of this campaign. There's been some really positive things, some good news stories happening in other countries as well, not just here in America.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, our largest growth has been all throughout Latin America. We have 200 campaigns throughout Latin America. We've had a lot of success in Germany. We have an employee in Germany, and Germany is our most persecuted place, both in people coming out on the street and legally. This campaign, it was excellent. We had a huge legal victory in Germany. We actually were able to win in court when they were trying to ban the vigil and just get rid of the vigil. And so it was encouraging to see. You notice a lot of these Western countries, England, France, Italy, Germany, they really want to ban free speech in a lot of areas, and not just the pro-life movement. Here, it's more targeted for the pro-life movement in the United States, and the Supreme Court has shot that down many, many times. But it's very scary for our world that many parts of Europe, the pro-life movement is helping keep free speech alive. And so that was a huge, huge victory for us. And, you know, when 40 Days for Life started in Texas, of course, we didn't know, you know, where it would go. But the international response is another reason everybody needs to be excited about this Supreme Court decision in the summer if they do overturn Roe v. Wade, because most countries think they're just stuck with abortion, or most countries think they're progressive because they got abortion from America. You know, our corporations and our government has exported abortion, particularly in Africa and Latin America. So when we end it, it will give them the actual belief that they can end it as well.
Well, I'm totally with you. I know that life is winning in America. There are new laws that are popping up across our country, similar to the one in Texas. We need to take a break, but I want to talk about that on the other side. I also want to invite our listeners, if you are passionate about the issue of defending life, if you're part of the 40 Days for Life campaign, if you've prayed outside of clinics here during this Lent, or you have a question or comment for the president and CEO of 40 Days for Life, Sean Carney, give us a call, 888-914-9149. We're taking your calls at 888-914-9149. We need to take a short break as we continue our conversation with Sean Carney. Stay with us. There's much more to come on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149.
That's 888-914-9149.
You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales.
We're talking about the fight to end abortion, the most important human and civil rights issue of our time. If you want to be part of the conversation, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. As we continue chatting with our good friend Sean Carney, the president and co-founder of 40 Days for Life, with an update on the great work that they're doing in their spring campaign. 329 babies that we know of that have been saved, 21,000 plus. Sean, welcome back.
Good to be back.
There's a few things I wanted to touch base with you about. One of them was the abortion pill reversal. Can you explain what this is and why this is such a positive? It's such a win for unborn babies.
Yes, and I first heard about it probably 12 years ago, and I thought it sounded made up. You know, it sounds like propaganda. You can't reverse an abortion. But Dr. Delgado, who is a saint in his own right in San Diego, developed this out of necessity. He had a woman that took the abortion pills, the RU-46, and he tried some things and to reverse the abortion. And then over time developed it to where you can reverse that abortion if the timing is right and the circumstances are right within a few hours or days after a woman goes through a chemical abortion. A chemical abortion is sold as an easy fix. You know, the abortion industry wants abortion to be like college kids who go out and get drunk and the next day they take two Advil and they go on about their business. They want it to be a regular part of their life. You just pop these pills, and it is anything but that. And for those of you in the audience who saw Unplanned, they did a great job accurately showing the brutality of a chemical abortion and the pain of it and what the woman goes through. And so an abortion pill reversal basically you know, boosts the amount of estrogen and does a couple of other things to help prevent the baby from actually being killed in the series of pills. And so it's amazing. I know in some places it's a 50% success rate. I've met a few babies who were saved through abortion pill reversal. It's very real. It's not witchcraft medicine. It's a lot of doctors have now been trained on it. It's very effective, and it's a beautiful thing, and we have Dr. Delgado to thank for it.
And Sean, the reality is that these chemical abortions are really dangerous for women, but that's what they're not telling you that. We saw it in the movie, Abby Johnson's movie, Unplanned, just a glimpse of just exactly how horrible it is for a woman.
Yeah, and really, John, it speaks to the nature of abortion, that you have to constantly downplay it. This is not a big deal. A lot of women have abortions. It's a constitutional right. You know, you will talk about all these things because we have to distract the woman from the reality of what is happening. And that distraction is gone when she's leaving the abortion facility. I've seen that 1,000 times. There's no more illusion. She can't take it back. She's the mother of an aborted child. And that, you know, that is a long road to healing, and one that those who have gone through it are now the leaders of the pro-life movement, the post-abortive women. But the myth that somehow this is just another thing requires constant marketing and constant lies to these women, that this is just no big deal. And when they go through it, they realize that it is a big deal. And the other thing about RU-46, I'm not going to get too graphic, but your baby is passed privately. You're not in the abortion facility. There's nobody holding your hand, which they never do. That's more propaganda. But all of that, you know, kind of, there's this intimate thing, and I had an abortion, and they were so nice. And so that's, you go home for the RU-46 chemical abortion. You could be anywhere when it actually happens. So it is very, very dangerous. It's brutal, as are all abortions. And abortion pill reversal is one of the great victories of the pro-life movement in the last decade.
Sean, another positive is there are new laws that are being enacted in other states besides Texas, similar to the heartbeat bill. Can you talk briefly about what's going on?
Yes, and this is starting to get a lot of media coverage because I think the left is starting to go a little crazy. I have an NBC interview about this later today on Oklahoma. Oklahoma has copied Texas and the Heartbeat Act. And, you know, what they're saying, either the media or politicians who support abortion, you know, they're all outraged. But we can't have it both ways. We can't have it both ways. We can't have Cuomo light up the Empire State Building and laugh about infanticide and give all of his buddies high fives.
In pink.
And go, exactly, yeah, pink. Yeah, like it's Valentine's Day. And also have Governor Northam, with his creepy fake Southern accent, get on the radio, who is producing that show and letting him talk, and describe the process of infanticide. He's a pediatrician. Who I don't recommend, by the way.
Oh, my
but,
goodness.
I mean, he's going through. So why can New York and California and Oregon jump up and down and have cake because they have infanticide, in Oklahoma and Texas and Florida say, we follow the science. There's a heartbeat. There's a baby. The baby's body is the problem. It's not your baby. It's the baby's body. And we're banning all abortion. And if this mentality were true, because the argument they're saying is, well, they're just going to drive somewhere. But the goal is that we're an abortion-free country. It's an abortion-free country. Of course, we're going to have neighboring states that disagree. That's why all the slaves fled to Maryland from Virginia. If Maryland didn't say, well, Virginia has slaves, I mean, all of our landowners are just going to move there. We'll just have slavery. Maryland didn't do that. They drew a line in the sand, literally, on that border, and they said, freedom starts here. And so that's what we have to do. And it's awesome to see. And it's happening quickly. And that's what I mentioned earlier. It is very notable. Planned Parenthood for years had a string of strong leaders, unfortunately. And that has ended with their current CEO. She does not know what she's doing. She's incompetent. They are in trouble right now. And these new laws that are spreading like wildfire are awesome and just build more momentum for our movement.
Planned Parenthood really is in trouble. I think in one of your emails, you said that 40 Days for Life is costing Planned Parenthood more than $35,000 so far in this campaign, and more than $1 million since 2010.
That was in one location. Yeah, that's Milwaukee. Milwaukee, they know that they've cost their local abortion facility $35,000 just this spring, since March 2nd, and they've cost them $1 million since we've had 40 Days for Life in Milwaukee.
Awesome. Can you talk a little bit about just the power of a sign? A simple sign like free ultrasound that was in Little Rock, Arkansas during this 40 Days for Life campaign, and it actually saved a baby.
It did. It saved a baby in Little Rock, and you know, we love signs. You know, we hold signs and we spend a lot of time and money looking into what signs work, which ones don't work. And we've had a number of donors come forward and say, I want to buy signs. And it's awesome because we're able to give those away for free and they save lives. And people are rightly kind of nervous about going out to an abortion facility, you know, and a sign can kind of be like a comfort. I don't have to talk to anybody. The sign says it all. And that's very real. We have, you don't have to do this today, which is a great sign. Ask to see the ultrasound, ask me about the ultrasound. We have all of these signs that have proven to be effective that people can hold, and they look professional. You don't look like a crazy person with a homemade sign. And it's very, very effective. And there's nothing that Planned Parenthood or a local abortion provider can do to prevent you from going out there. That's why we have to use our rights so we don't lose our rights. And this campaign, we are getting so many wonderful testimonials, including Little Rock, which you mentioned, about how the woman actually confirmed, I just saw the sign, you know, literally. I asked for a sign, and you were holding a sign, and I can't do this today. And it should give us great hope. And that's why all of this noise in our culture, it can't erase our nature. You know, nobody wants to be there. Nobody wants to work in the abortion industry. Nobody wants an abortion. If we go out there and we hold a sign, we're going to save a life over time.
Well, there's no question that 40 Days for Life is making a big, big difference in this battle for the culture of life. I so much appreciate your perspective. Can you tell our listeners where they can go for more information on 40 Days for Life?
Absolutely. The campaign ends on Palm Sunday, so you still have time to sign up. Go to 40daysforlife.com. It's the number 40. You'll see all the locations so you can you can sign up and go out and peacefully pray. We also have about 70 40 Days for Life 365 locations that go year-round at their vigils, so you can check them out as well.
Thanks so much, Sean. I so much appreciate your passion and your clarity on this important issue of life. Thanks again.
Thank you. Keep up the great work.
And that was my recent conversation with Sean Carney, the president, CEO, and co-founder of 40 Days for Life. 40daysforlife.com. They saved 455 babies during their Spring Lenten campaign. Absolutely amazing work. Now it's time for another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called 3 Days by Pat Barnes. It was a beautiful spring day, and a sense of peace stayed with me as I left the cathedral on Easter Monday morning. I paused for a moment at the top of the steps leading to the avenue, now crowded with people rushing to their jobs. Sitting in her usual place inside a small archway was the old flower lady. At her feet, corsages and boutonnieres were parading on top of a spread-open newspaper. Flower lady was smiling, her wrinkled old face alive with some inner joy. I started down the stairs, then on an impulse turned and picked out a flower. As I put it in my lapel, I said, "You look happy this morning." "Why not?" she said. "Everything's good." She was dressed so shabbily and seemed so very old that her reply startled me. "You've been sitting here for many years now, haven't you? And always smiling. You wear your troubles well." "You can't reach my age and not have troubles," she replied. "Only it's like Jesus and Good Friday." She paused for a moment. "Yes," I prompted. "Well, when Jesus was crucified on Good Friday, that was the worst day for the whole world. When I get troubles, I remember that. And then I think of what happened only 3 days later. Easter and our Lord arising. So when I get troubles, I've learned to wait 3 days. Somehow everything gets all right again." And she smiled goodbye. Her words still follow me whenever I think I have troubles. Give God a chance to help. Wait 3 days. Romans 6:4 says, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life."
Thanks so much, Glenn. Coming up next hour on Morning Air, Martha Fernandez-Sardina will give us a reflection on the 7 last words of Christ. So don't change that dial. We're just warming up. There's much more to come as Morning Air continues next hour here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.